Come, Holy Spirit, and help us to hear you afresh this day. Amen. Pentecost is the day when Christians celebrate the coming of the Holy Spirit in a unique and dramatic way, 50 days after Easter Sunday. For Jewish people, Pentecost is also called Shavuot, or the Festival of Weeks, and celebrates two important aspects of Jewish life, the wheat harvest and the giving of the Torah at Mount Sinai. People of the Jewish faith continue to observe this festival in different ways around the world. For Christians, our reading from Acts 2 sets the scene. Luke places the Jewish followers of Jesus in a house together on the day of Pentecost. As readers and hearers of the book of Acts, we are let in on everything that the apostles in the text are told. So like them, we have heard Jesus say in Acts chapter 1, the reading from last week, "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." The apostles respond to the news about this upcoming event with one question. "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" In other words, "We've seen your power at work. You were brutally killed, and now you are here with us. Surely this Roman Empire who have us under the thumb is no match for you." Now, I have quite a bit of sympathy for this longing for political and social freedom. We too might long for those without political power to see self-determination and liberation in their own affairs. Jesus, responding to their question, replies, "It is up to the Father to know the times and dates that he has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." Jesus is then taken up to heaven, and following this, the apostles cast lots and choose a replacement for Judas. So all in all, quite a big couple of days. If they thought that things were going to quieten down after the resurrection, they were mistaken. On the day of Pentecost, the apostles encounter God in a new way. They have encountered God's presence in bodily form in Jesus, and now they are encountering God's presence in spirit. Already in the resurrection body of Jesus, they were learning to know him in a new way. Mary Magdalene is told not to hold on to Jesus, but to prepare for his return to the Father. In today's gospel reading, Jesus appears among the disciples in ways that convey the mystery of the resurrection. He comes to the disciples, appearing through locked doors, bearing wounds, and sharing a greeting of peace. Jesus shares his peace, breathes the Holy Spirit on them, and sends them out to continue the mission of Jesus in the world. "As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And so we have these two images of being filled with the Holy Spirit. The abiding presence of the Spirit who is promised throughout John's Gospel and given by the resurrected Jesus to his disciples. And the dramatic account in Acts, where the Spirit comes with power and is manifest in wind and fiery tongues. The account in Acts contains a beautiful image of the Spirit giving those gathered the ability to speak and to be understood by Jews from every nation who were living in Jerusalem. This gift of understanding of words spoken by those who naturally do not possess all these languages left some perplexed. I love how Luke has them saying, "What does this mean?" A fair question, I would have thought. There were also some who sneered. At this point, Peter bears witness to the acts of God, beginning with the promises of God in the Hebrew Scriptures, which have been fulfilled this day. The sights they are witnessing have been promised by God through the prophet Joel. I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Peter's testimony continues as he recounts the deeds of God and the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus, and calls on those present to repent and be baptized. Two things follow Peter's speech. 3,000 were added to their number, and the believers met together to listen to the apostles' teaching, to break bread, and to pray. They shared their belongings and lives together, praising God and enjoying the favour of all people. In both John and Acts, the gift of the Spirit is to empower the mission of sharing the hope and peace that Jesus offers and to continue his mission in the world. And so, as we gather here on this day of Pentecost, like the people gathered outside the house in Jerusalem, we too might ask, what does this mean? What is it about Pentecost that we are celebrating today? We are probably all familiar with Ebenezer Scrooge, the antagonist in Charles Dickens' A Christmas Carol, who wanted to cancel Christmas. If there was an equivalent figure who wanted to cancel Pentecost, would we notice? Presbyterian minister Steve Eason writes with dry humour, "People come out of the woodwork for Christmas Eve, and they still do a fair job in showing up for Easter, but Pentecost is almost something the preacher pushes on the congregation. I have tried asking the whole congregation to wear something red on the day of Pentecost. 12 people remembered to do that. Well, looking around, we've done better on that account. We tried having liturgical dances on Pentecost. That did not go over very well. We have tried having 6 people read the Pentecost passage in 6 different languages, all at the same time. The Presbyterian version of speaking in tongues. There are no Pentecost dinners or parties. There is no Pentecost parade. We do not send Pentecost cards to each other. Even the shops haven't picked up on Pentecost. Maybe we do not understand it, but we do not understand Christmas or Easter either. I can celebrate the birth and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, but celebrating the coming of the Holy Spirit on all human flesh, including mine, that may be too much." He then playfully says, "When a horse dies, it is time to dismount. If Pentecost is a dead horse, then dismount." Now, for us at Holy Covenant, obviously Pentecost is not dead. And we are even having a special morning tea after our service to celebrate. On a deeper level, we may not understand everything of the mystery of Pentecost and the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives, in the church and in the world, but we cannot afford to lose them. The gift of the Holy Spirit shows us that God has not given up on our world and the people in it. God is still God with us. I'm sure we can all think of people who bear witness to us that God is still involved in the world. I think of my mother, whose faith is a dynamic mix of activism, prayerfulness, and pragmatism. When her friends ask her how she can believe in God with so much suffering in the world, she replies, "I'd rather the world with God in it than the world without God." The gift of the Spirit declares to us that we know God in a new way and God's presence is with us. When we pray, we do so knowing that the Holy Spirit touches human flesh, and so we keep praying. We are connected to God through the Holy Spirit teaching us, prompting us, convicting us, and inspiring us to love. The gifts of the Spirit, love, joy, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, which are given for the common good. I do not want to imagine a world without them. When we act with faith, hope, and love, we do so in the knowledge that our actions are working in synergy with a God who has not abandoned us. In our lives, in the church, and in our world, We lament all that is broken and the suffering that is overwhelming. This week has been a heavy news week. There's no doubt about that. But can we also see God in the world, near and far? For me, it was in the peacefulness and stillness of an evening walk around the lake. It is in the statement from the heart from Indigenous leaders from around Australia who found unity in their diversity and are asking to be heard. It is in this faithful congregation who gathers each week and declares that the Spirit is with us. Where did you notice God this week? How might you connect with God in the upcoming week? Where will you join in the action of the Holy Spirit, who is already ahead of us, inviting us to be present to our own needs and to the struggles, joys, and hopes of both neighbour and stranger? In a moment, we will affirm together that we are the body of Christ and that Christ's Spirit is with us. And this is indeed worth celebrating, this day and every day.